Thank you, Rabbi Weitman, and thank you all for coming. I want to start in a very personal sense. You know, I'm sure many of you know my father, who's one of the Rosh Yeshiva here in the Yeshiva. And growing up, I always was taught to admire in great measure the Rav Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik. My father has the schus of publishing five svarim of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, and we grew up always hearing the Rav said this, the Rav said that. So I used to read some of the writings of the Rav, and I remember the story that the Rav relates in Halachic Man. In Halachic Man, the Rav relates a story that it was Rosh Hashanah in Chaslavich, the town where the Rav grew up. Chaslavich was a basically Lubavitcher town. The Rav was always a Litvak, but the people were Lubavitchers. So the Baal Tokeya was a Lubavitcher Chassid, and the Baal Atanya in Likutei Torah speaks about how Rosh Hashanah is an overwhelming day. It's the day when man crowns the Almighty, when man is machtir, the Almighty, where God says, I need human beings to make me king. And a person is crowning Hashem as king through the Tkiyah Shofar. And that the Baal Tekeya was about to blow shofar. He started to think, who am I, mere flesh and blood, to crown HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I'm the one who gives Hashem his crown. And he started crying and crying. And Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said to the Baal Tekeya, you cry and cry before you shake lulav. You cry and cry before you sit in the sukkah. You should just blow shofar. So I remember hearing that story, and as a kid, growing up, it was so wonderful. And here's the story being, let's get rid of crying and sentimentality, and when we blow shofar, the focus should be doing the mitzvah right, blowing shofar. So when I was in yeshiva, during Musar Seder, instead of learning Mesilas Yesharim or learning Orchas Tzadikim, I used to learn Maseches Rosh Hashanah, then Maseches Megillah, to fulfill the mandate of this story, that the main thing is to learn the halacha and to know the halacha. But I have to say that as I've matured a little bit, I've learned that maybe it's not the only thing. It's certainly important to learn halacha and to know the halacha. But in addition to knowing the halacha, we have to study Avodas Hashem. Mesilas Yesharim writes in his introduction, there's no question within halacha that Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are the ultimate ideals. We fulfill the halacha with Ava and with Yira. The Zohar says that Ava Hashem and Yira Shemayim are the Godfin. These are the wings that bring up a person's Avodas Hashem. So how could it be that we would only be focused on making sure that the Tzkiyas are long enough and flat enough and that the Shvarim are short enough and we're not focused on loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and on Yiras Shamayim? And if we realize that the mind is needed in order to better understand the halacha, certainly the mind is needed to better understand Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And it's not possible to imagine that there's no room for working on the heart, working on midos. After all, Avodah Shebelev, it's a pasuk. You have to serve Hashem with your heart. How are we going to serve Hashem with our heart if we're not going to work on our heart, if we're not going to think about our heart, if we're not going to toil on our heart. And so now that I'm older, I'm more appreciative of the idea that my Rebbe Rav Aaron Soloveitchik told us, that the real meaning of that story was that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was worried that because he was crying so much, the Baal Tzkiya would ruin the sounds. He wouldn't get right sounds out. So that's why he told him, don't cry. But Be'etzem, in terms of Avodas Hashem, without question, not only do we have to do the mitzvah itself, but we have to work on our midos, we have to work on our Avas Hashem and Yiras Shamayim. And learning Musar is absolutely a requirement to developing a person's Yiras Shamayim. The Gra, in his commentary to Mishle, has a very striking comment. The Pasuk says in Mishle, Hachazek b'musar al-taref mitzreha kihi chayecha. Hold on to Musar. Don't let go. Don't have rifyon yadayim. Treasure it, for it is your life. So the Ralbag and Rashi and the Mitzudas Tzion, they all say, Hachazek b'musar means learn Torah. Learn Torah. Torah is Musar. It gives you direction. Al-Taref, don't let go of Torah, Nitzreha, treasure it. Kihi chayecha, that is what gives you life. Orach yamin b'yamina b'smolo shevachavot. But the Gra, now the Gra didn't write his commentary to Mishle, it's written by the Talmidim, but at least the Talmidei Agra, what they say in the Gra's name is that the Gra understood this pasuk differently. Hachazek b'musar, the way we understand Musar. We understand Musar as a person criticizing himself, a person working on himself, a person talking to himself and challenging himself, challenging the fact that maybe we're a little bit lazy and I shouldn't be lazy, or challenging the fact that I have a temper problem and I shouldn't have anger, or challenging the fact that I don't give enough stuck, I don't care enough for people and I should care more for people. Hachazek b'musar, hold on to Musar, to self-critique and to self-improvement. And the Gra says something unbelievable, unbelievable. The Gra says, a person was created imperfect. We're put into this world in a human body, and the human body by nature is filled with flaws and filled with deficiencies. And why did God put a soul into a human body? So that the soul would work on the human body. That the soul would start fixing the human body. A person is alive to start changing his character. And the Gra therefore says, a person should hold on to Musar. And start with a different midah. Start with the midah of MS perhaps. And work on the midah of MS for months. To learn all about MS. In fact, elsewhere the Gra writes that he believes that we are missing Masechtos in Shas. We have 36 Masechtos, but the Gra says, think about these Masechtos. They only deal with Halacha L'maisa. We don't have Masechtos on Shvius. We don't have Masechtos on Kilayim, because in Talmud Bavli they didn't deal with Shemitah and Kilayim. We don't have Masechtos on Ahalos, so we don't have Masechtos on Yadayim. They didn't deal with Taharos and Bava. We only have Masechtos of Halacha L'maisa. The Gra says he believes that there were Masechtos on Nidos. There was a Masechta on Kaas. There was a Masechta on Emes. There was a Masechta on Chesed. And a Masechta on Savlanos. And we don't have those Masechtos. But they were Masechtos. The Gedolim had Masechtos, entire tractates, to study a particular Nidah. So the Gra says on this pasuk in Mishlei, Hachazek b'Musar al-Taref, the Gra says a person should hold on to Musar, to self-critique about a particular midah. Start with the midah of Emes and learn all the Ma'amarei Chazal about Emes. Learn all the Ma'amarei Chazal about how good it is to be a person who says Emes and how terrible it is to be a person of Sheker. Learn all the Ramazim about Emes. Habereishus Bara Elokim is Sofei Tevos MS. how Sheker Ein L'Raglayim, Sheker has no foundation. Learn and learn and pound into the person. The Midah of Emes. And when a person has conquered Emes, then move on to another Midah. Move on to Chesed. Move on to Yirah Shamayim. Move on to Avas Hashem. Move on to lack of machlokas, lack of kinna and tava. Al taref, don't let go. Why? Nitzreha, you have to treasure it. Keep working on yourself. Kihi chayecha, the pasuk says. Because if you're not working on yourself, lama lo chayim, by what right does a person have to live? The Gra says in Mishlei that man is put into this world in an imperfect vessel. Because our purpose in this world is to transform this vessel into a vessel filled with midos tovos, with good midos. And the only way to do that, or the way the Gra recommended doing that, was hachazek b'musar, to hold on to the attributes of musar, to learn those statements that deal with that midah, to transform that midah, to change oneself and to become a different person by virtue of that midah. And so while it's true that, Rav Soloveitchik focused very much on the learning of Gemara and Halacha, and many yeshivos focused very much on the learning of Gemara and Halacha, in many yeshivos they also added the learning of Musar and how important it is to learn Musar and to work on our midos and working through the vehicle of Limud HaMusar. And so that's why this morning, if I ask your indulgence, I know many of the Rabbanim give learned shiurim in matters of Halacha, Ramban, Lamdus, but I thought this morning it would be worthwhile for all of us to learn about the Midah of Ka'as and how to conquer the Midah of Ka'as, what the Sifrei Musar teach us can give us guidance in terms of overcoming this terrible midah, the midah of kaas. One of the first things that the Sifrei Musar teach is that it's always important to prepare ourselves before the nisayon. When we're in the middle of a challenge, it's very hard to now, conquer ourselves. But if we prepare ourselves before we enter into the challenge, then maybe when the challenge will hit, suddenly all those ideas that we've had, that we've prepared ourselves with, will be triggered. And through those midos, through those, awarenesses, through those ideas, we'll be able to overcome the challenge when it hits us at that moment. The Bali Musar teach that it's very worthwhile to focus on a particular midah and to review to oneself what Chazal have said about that midah. So for example, when we talk about Kaas, we can think of the last Gemara in Meseches Yuma. The Gemara ends Meseches Yuma with the statement, Ve'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, love Hashem your God. The Gemara says, how does a person love Hashem? What does it mean to love Hashem? So the Gemara says what it means to love Hashem, Shiyehei Shem Shamayim Mis'ahev Al Yadcha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should become beloved because of you and through you. And what does that mean? Shiyehei Kore V'Shone U'Meshamesh Talmid HaChachamim. A person should be a man of God. He knows a lot of Chumash, his Kore. He knows Halacha, he's a Shone, and he knows the Lamdus. He's in the Shamish Talmid HaChachamim, he's in Shir, and he asks questions and he gets answers. So he's identified as a man of God. But just being a man of God, that's not enough to make people love God. V'yehei Masa'o U'matano B'nachas Im Abrios. When he deals with people, he's very pleasant. In business, he doesn't get angry. He's friendly. He He's someone who's pleasant. It's a delight to deal with him. So ma'a brios omros alav. What do people say about a person who's friendly? Ashrei aviv shalimdo Torah. Ashrei rabo shalimdo Torah. And then they say, oy lahem labrios shalo lamdu Torah. Ploni shalom at Torah. Ru'u kama naim drachav. Kama misukanim maisa. Alav akasuv omer. Vayomer li avdi ata Yisrael. Asher b'cha espoir. The Gemara says that if you want to fulfill the mandate of Avas Hashem, the way to love Hashem, and there's no higher value than Avas Hashem, the way to love Hashem is Masa'o Umatano B'nachas Imabriyos. That in business, there's a customer, and he maybe didn't pay right away, or he didn't pay enough, without anger, B'nachas. Treat him with nachas, to act pleasantly. Then people say, Ashrei aviv shalimdo Torah. Look what the Torah did to this person. The Torah made him so gentle. The Torah made him so friendly. The Torah made him so nice. And then people love Torah. And through loving Torah, they love Hashem. That's on the side of how wonderful it is to be someone who doesn't get angry. And what about getting angry? The Zohar says very, very frightening things about someone who gets angry. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that a korea ksuso, if a person tears his garments in anger, he's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's as if he worships idols because he has an el zar, he has a foreign god in his midst. The Zohar goes further. The Zohar says not only is tearing an object in anger like worshipping idols, the person who gets angry at the moment of anger is taking away his neshama. Listen to the Zohar in Parshas Tetzaveh. Iyahu barnash lo natirla. If a person doesn't protect his soul from getting angry, and instead he gets angry, Ihu akar kedusha da ilah me'asrei, he uproots the high kedusha from its place, lemishrei ba'asrei sitra achra, and he puts in place of the kedusha the forces of evil themselves. Vaday da ihu barnash demarid bemarei. This is certainly a person rebelling against its creator. Also, l'karva b'hadei, you're not allowed to be friendly even with someone who's angry. U'l'eschabra imei, and to be in his company when he's angry. The da'ihu, that's the pasuk, toreif nafsho b'apo. Simple way to read the pasuk is that a person in his anger might savage a soul. But the way the Zohar reads it is, Ihu tarif, he is savaging the akar nafshei and uprooting his own soul. Begin rugze through his anger. The Zohar says something very frightening. The Zohar says that when a person gets angry and there are daggers coming out of his eyes and his face is beet red and he's enraged, at that moment, the neshama runs away. The anger throws out the neshama. So how's a person still breathing? How's he still alive if he's so angry? There's a whole other world out there. It's called Sitra Achra. It's the world of angels of destruction. It's the world of Yetzer Haras. It's the world of Averos. And that world gives this person the ability to breathe. But this person already doesn't have an neshama in him because he's so angry. Toreif nafsho. A person is destroying his own soul. Be'apo. In his rage. And there's another spirit on him. Ihu tarif v'akar nafshe. He's uprooted and destroyed his soul. begin rugze, because of his anger, the ishrei begave el zar, and he's put in his midst a foreign god, al duck siv. That's what the pasuk says in Yeshaya, chibu lachem in adam, stay away from a man, asher neshama ba'apo, who has replaced his soul with his anger. Dahi nishmasa kadisha tarifla, that holy soul he has savaged, v'sayivla begin apo, and instead he has defiled it, made it tamei, because of his anger. Ki neshama achlif ba'ape, he has exchanged his soul for his anger. Ki bamenech shavu, don't read it as what is he worth, but rather bama, as in idolatry itself. Akum ischashev hahu barnash, that person is not ki'ilu ovid avodah zarah, he is the avodah zarah. The Zohar says that when a person gets angry, we are throwing away our neshama, we are now avodah zarah itself. We become the avodah zarah. We become the incarnate of evil. We become the representative of the sitra achra in this world. And so how horrible anger is. Anger is destroying our very core. Whereas let's think of the opposite. What does it mean to be patient? What does it mean to be friendly and to be kind and to be pleasant? It's Avas Hashem. It's the way that Shem Shamayim Nisahev Al Yadcha. That's why we find that there are many, many, you know, examples of where our Gedolim taught us how important it is to avoid anger and to be a person who rules over all of his midos. We just had in last week's Parsha that Yaakov gathers all of his 12 sons and he says to his first son, Bechor Reuven, Bechor Riata, you're my firstborn. Yeser Se'eth, V'yeser Oz, you're the first of strength, great power, but Pachas Kamayim, you were impetuous, like water, you had anger. So the Ramban says something here which is unbelievable. Here Yaakov is criticizing Reuven for an event that happened when? It's an event that happened almost 50 years before. Right? There are 17 years that Yaakov is in Egypt, 22 years that he didn't have Yosef, that's 39 years. And before that, at the birth of Binyamin, when Rachel died, Reuben had taken Yaakov's bed out of the tent of Bilhah and put it in the tent of Leah. So that must have been 50 years before. 50 years before, Reuben had moved the bed. And 50 years later, Yaakov tells Reuven, Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar, you removed the beds, you messed up Mishkevei Avicha, Az Chilalta Yitzui Allah. Why didn't Yaakov criticize Reuven when he did it 50 years earlier? We don't find in the Torah that he ever tells Reuven anything about moving the bed when Reuven does it. So the Ramban says the following. An amazing thing. When Reuven moved the bed, Yaakov didn't say anything to Reuven at the time. But now, when Reuven is, now he's giving the brachos, now he says, you know what, Reuven, I'm criticizing you, and Yosef is going to have the privilege of Bechorah. So the Bali Musar say, normally when a person gets angry, the moment when something happens, I get very, very upset. Then with time, I calm down. But look at Yaakov. The moment when it happened, he didn't respond. 50 years later, he said something. Because Yaakov was someone who was always working on his midos. So when the moment that something happened, he conquered himself not to get angry. 50 years later, when a lesson had to be taught, and Yaakov said, Reuven, you were wrong for getting upset, you were wrong for being angry, and he gave him Musar. We find that again in the Birchas Yaakov, Yaakov turns to Shimon and Levi, also talks about anger. He says, Arur apam ki az, cursed is their anger that it's so strong. They have rasam ki kashasa, their rage is so tough. Achalkein bi Yaakov, I'll divide them up amongst Yaakov. Afitzein bi Yisrael, I'll scatter them amongst Israel. So Yaakov, Rashi says, what does it mean, Achalkein bi Yaakov? Shevet Levi are going to become people who have to go around because they don't have their own land. So they only eat based on Shumos and Maestros, based on Maestros. They have to go from farmer to farmer to collect Maestros. And Shevet Shimon did have a territory, but Shevet Shimon were made Sofrim and Melamde Tinokos. They became experts at writing Sifrei Torah and Melamde Tinokos. They were teachers, and because they were teachers, so therefore they went from place to place to teach Torah. So Avram Yafin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Navardik, said, look at an amazing thing. What do we learn in Pirkei Avos? Ein habayshan lomeid, ein hakaptan melamed. A person who's bashful never learns. A person who's a kaptan, who gets angry, can't teach. So why did Yaakov make Shimon teachers? If they have a problem of anger, so what's the answer? Exactly. This was to force them to be miskaber, to overcome. Since they were people who always used to get angry, he gave them the job that didn't allow them to ever get angry. The job of being melamde tinokos, to be miskaber, to conquer their ka'as, to overcome their ka'as. And what about Shevet Levi? Shevet Levi had the needs of ka'as. So what did Yaakov do? He made them people who aren't gashmiyistika people. Because one of the keys to overcoming ka'as is having emunah, having bitachon. If a person has deep emunah and believes whatever is going on ultimately is Ratzon Hashem, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it, there's no room for ka'as. As we find the famous example of David HaMelech. David HaMelech is running away from his son Avshalom, who rebelled. And when he's running away, Shimi ben Gera, the head of the Sanhedrin, comes out and he starts to curse David and throw stones at David. And David's people say, David, he's a Molech b'Malchus, kill him. And David says, no. Elokim amar lo kaleo. God told him to curse me. It's Ratzon Hashem. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. It's Hashem sending it. When you have deep emunah, there's no room for kaas. There's a fascinating book called Nechtavei Ramchal, The Letters of Ramchal. Ramchal had a very, very difficult life. He passed away at a young age of 39. And before that, he was under terrible persecutions from the rabbis of Italy. Ramchal was a great genius, and he was a very charismatic person. He came from a wealthy family, he didn't need to work, and he was a very, very well-educated man, and he had students who gathered around him, and he was an expert in the Kabbalah, and he took the ideas of the Kabbalah, and he phrased the Torah of the Ari HaKadosh in allegorical terms, in the language of medieval Jewish philosophy, and poetry, and allegory. And this was at a time after Shabtai Tzvi, when there was a lot of worries about Kabbalah. And Ramchal revealed to his Talmidim that a Malach had come to him and revealed to him certain secrets. And they were so excited that the Ramchal had a Magid telling him secrets, like the Beis Yosef had a Magid, Magid Beis Sharim, who told him secrets, that they told people about it. So the rabbis of Italy got very upset. They said, this is another Shabtai Tzvi all over again. And they tried to prohibit Ramchal from teaching Kabbalah. And they made him swear that he wouldn't teach Kabbalah. And then they heard that he was still sharing secrets. So the Talmidim were saying that they got secrets from him. And so they put him in Cherem, and he had to run away from Italy, and he ran to Holland, and then he ran eventually to Eretz Yisrael, and he died in a plague when he gets there at age 39. In the letters of Ramchal, Ramchal writes that initially when he saw the way the other Rabbanim were treating him, he was very upset. But when he realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, Behanhagas HaYichud HaElyon, Ramchal has a philosophy that there are two parallel tracks of Hashgacha Pratis. On the one hand is the Hashgacha Pratis of Schar Ba'onesh, of reward and punishment, but there's another parallel underlying track that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running everything as part of the Yichud HaElyon. It's all Hashem, it's all Ratzon Shemayim, and Hashem is leading the world to Geula. And He has His plans. It's Hanhagas Yichud HaElyon. It's the running of the world of Yichud HaElyon. He no longer had any anger. He had no anger anymore. It's all part of Hashem's plan. It's part of Hashem's desires to bring the world and to bring me to my tikkun. And he didn't have ka'as. So that's why Shevet Levi were made into people of Ruchnius. They don't have land. They have to be Machazer al Agranos. They're only thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day. Thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all day brought them to the feelings of Anhagas Yichud HaElyon, and that was their way of overcoming Ka'as. Because Yaakov Avinu was insisting that his children overcome Ka'as. There's a famous vort of the Rebbe of Heschel. We know that there's a famous Machlokas Rishonim as to what was the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu at Mei Meriva. The Rambam says that the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that he said, Shimuna Hamorim. Listen, you rebellious ones. Amin asel azen oti lachem mayim. And the Rambam says that means that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. And when Moshe got angry, the people thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with them. And really there was nothing wrong in asking for water. So therefore, Moshe was punished and he lost the right to enter Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says something else. Rashi says that the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu was not that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, but rather Moshe Rabbeinu's chet was that he hit the rock and he didn't talk to the rock. Hashem had told him, talk to the rock and out of the rock water would come out. But instead, Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, and because he hit the rock, that's why it was a chet, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't enter into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rebbe of Heschel put these two ideas together. We know that when Avram Avinu had the three guests, so he ran himself, Ela Bakar Ratz Avraham, Avram ran to take the cattle, and therefore the Medrash says, the Gemara quotes in above Metzia, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Slav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself sent meat for Am Yisrael in the desert. Vayikach chema v'chalav, Avram brought the milk and the butter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the man, lechem and hashamayim himself. But he had the water brought with a shliach, yukach mamat mayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also sent water through a shliach, v'kisa batsur, v'yatsum imenu mayim. Hit the rock, and out of the rock, water would come out. So Moshe figured, here, Shechina medaberes mitoch groni. The Shechina comes out of my mouth. If I talk to the rock, and by talking to the rock, water is going to come out, it's going to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is bringing water to Am Yisrael. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is not going to give the water directly to Am Yisrael because Avram brought it through a shliach, so I shouldn't be talking to the rock. That's why I should be hitting the rock. So if I hit the rock, then it won't be coming directly from Hashem. It'll be coming through a shliach. That's why HaKadosh Baruch, the same way Avram Avinu brought the water through a shliach. So all of that was correct. The problem was that Moshe Rabbeinu got angry. So since he got angry, when you get angry, you're misalik the Shechina. So once Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, the Shekhinah was no longer talking through his mouth. So now he could have spoken to the rock, and it wouldn't be the Shekhinah delivering the water directly. It would have been through a shaliach. So therefore, the two explanations the Rebbe of Heschel said really go together. Since getting angry is a form of causing the Shekhinah to leave, when Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he caused the Shekhinah to leave. Now already he could talk to the rock, because it wasn't Shekhinah medaberes mitoch krono. Oh, he didn't do that. He hit the rock. That was the chet why Moshe Rabbeinu ended up not going in to Eretz Yisrael. And that's perhaps the pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim, vayaktzifu almei meriva vayera lemoshe ba'avuram ki himru esrucho vayevate besvasav. That since Moshe Rabbeinu had removed the Shekhinah from him through getting angry, that's why it was wrong in the fact that he was not vayevate besvasav, not talking, and instead the fact that he hit the rock. The truth is, the Bali Musar say, we should realize that anger, by its very nature, creates problems, even when the anger is completely l'shem shamayim. What's the proof of that? We have that at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, in Parshas Matan. The end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, tell the Jewish people to wage war against the Bnei Midian. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, and then you're going to die. So says Rashi, you see the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he knew this was the last thing that had to get done, and then he would die, he didn't delay. He didn't say, okay, we'll wait, I'll tell them tomorrow or in a month. Right away, he grabbed the 12,000 soldiers. He sent Pinchas as their leader, and they went out to fight against the Bnei Midian. And what happens? They come back, and Moshe is angry. Why is he angry? Hachyesem kol nekeva. You left the girls alive. Hein, hein, ahayu levnei Yisrael. That's the whole problem. Why are we fighting Bnei Midian? Because the Bnos Midian came out and they seduced us and they caused Averos and we had the story of Zimri and Cusbi and all the other problems. We had the plague and Pinchas had to go kill Zimri and Cusbi. That was the problem, was the girls. And therefore, Nikom Nikmas Hashem Esa Midianim. Go take Hashem's revenge on the Midianim. And here you kept the girls alive. Moshe gets angry. Why did you leave them alive? Then the Torah says that Hashem told Elazar the parsha of Geulei Midian. Hashem told Elazar HaKohen, the son of Aaron, that the objects that were conquered had to be purged to get all the tastes out, and they had to tovel the objects of the Goyim in order to use them. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, why didn't Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu the parsha of Geulei Midian? The Gemara says, Kalakoes, anyone who gets angry, forgets halacha. The proof is Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the section of Geulei Midian because he got angry. So said the Altar of Navarre. Let's think about this anger. What's the cause of Moshe's anger? That the Bnos Midian are alive. Now that helps Moshe. The Bnos Midian being alive means that the Jews didn't fulfill the mission. It means Moshe still stays alive. He doesn't die. So when Moshe gets angry at Am Yisrael, why didn't you kill the girls? Is there anything selfish about that anger? It's completely l'shem shamayim. Because if Moshe was in any way concerned with himself, he wouldn't be getting angry. This anger is righteous indignation. For God's sake, how dare you leave these girls alive? Not about me. Nothing about me. Because in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, for his own benefit, it's great that they're alive. He's going against his interests in getting angry that they're alive. Against his interests in trying to have them killed right away. It's completely l'shem shamayim. So wouldn't anger completely l'shem shamayim cause a success and a bracha? But no. This anger causes Moshe Rabbeinu to forget Parshas Geulei Midian. It causes him to forget the whole halacha of Hechsher Kalim and Tvilas Kalim, and anger causes damage. Because it's not even a punishment. It's part and parcel of the nature of anger. The nature of anger is what the Zohar HaKadosh says. It removes the neshama and it puts some foreign being inside of us. And so the Bali Musar teach that even before we have the nisayon, we should try to work on ourselves to be people who are aware of the horrors of anger. Because the more we are aware of the horrors of anger, the more we'll merit that when the nisayon actually comes, we'll have the kochos to overcome ourselves and not to get angry. We know there's so many beautiful, beautiful stories about great gedolim and how careful they were to avoid the midah of kas. For example, Rav Chaim Vital writes that the Ari HaKadosh felt that anger is worse than all the other averos. It's not what you find from Chazal. It may not be in the Rambam this way, but the Mekubalim felt that anger was mamish, the worst of all the averos. He said anger destroys the neshama. Every avera takes one limb. That's why there are 248 main limbs for the 248 mitzvahs aseh, and 365 sinews for the 365 mitzvahs lo saseh. But anger is toref neshama, toref nafsho ba'apo. Anger does damage to the entire neshama, and therefore a person should always avoid anger. The Magid, the Malach that used to appear to the Beis Yosef, relates, Ukvar hodaticha, kama tatzarich linog b'shiflus, shelo lichos al shum davar ba'olam. The Malach said to the Beis Yosef, you shouldn't get angry about anything in the world. Seyu lamad mi Moshe, rabban shel kol neviim. Think about Moshe Rabbeinu. Kol makum shebalich lal kas, balich lal tos. Whenever he gets angry, he gets angry at Mei Meriva, he makes a mistake. He gets angry about Midian, he makes a mistake. L'chein al shum davar sheba'olam lo tichos. And no matter in the world should you get angry. Afal pi sheyedabru o yasu dvarim sheroi lichos aleihem, even if there are things that are getting you upset. Hisnaigim abrios benachas. Treat everyone with nachas. And don't get upset. Don't get angry. And we know such famous stories. This famous story of Reb Yechiel Michal of Zlotchev, that he once inherited a very precious pair of tefillin from the Magid of Dravich. And people wanted to buy this very, very precious pair of tefillin that he had. And he refused to sell it because this was the tefillin of the Magid of Dravich. And his wife sometimes used to tell him, we should sell it, life will be easier for us, we need it for food, you can use other tefillin. He refused to sell the tefillin. And the famous story that one year, they didn't have any estrogim around. There were just a couple of estrogim and they were very expensive. And he sold this pair of tefillin to buy a very beautiful estrog. And when he brought it home, his wife was so angry. Said, all those times that I wanted to sell the tefillin for food, you wouldn't sell the tefillin. And now you sold the tefillin for an esrog. People think you're a tzaddik. You're not a tzaddik. You're an achzar. You're a rasha. And she took the esrog and she passled it. She threw it in anger and she broke the pitim. And Reb Michal of Zlotchev didn't say a word. He didn't get angry. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, tefillin I don't have, an esrog I don't have, but I'm not going to lose my midah of hishtavos. I'm not going to lose the midah of being benachas and being pleasant. I'm not going to get angry. And the Hasidim say that that night, in his dream, his father, who had given him the tefillin, came to him and said, the fact that you didn't get angry was a bigger mitzvah than the fact that you sold the tefillin to buy a beautiful esrog. Because the midah of the tzaddikim is to constantly try to avoid getting angry. And to do it in a sense of tremendous respect and tremendous appreciation. You know, contrast this story with, there's another famous story, the Gemara, in Maseches Yevamos, the Gemara relates about the wife of Rav Chiya, the Bisud Rav Chiya. The wife of Rav Chiya always used to do the opposite of what Rav Chiya asked for. When Rav Chiya would ask for fish, she would make meat. And when he would ask for meat, she would make fish. So the Gemara says about Rav Chiya that he once said to his son, I'd like to have some fish. Go ask your mother to make for me fish. The son went and he brought back fish. He said, I don't understand. Every time when I ask for fish, she makes meat. What happened that suddenly your mother decided to make fish? So the son said, well, I saw that every time we ask for fish, she makes meat. And every time we ask for meat, she makes fish. So I asked her for meat. And therefore, she made fish. So Rav Chiya said, it's very wrong. Because the Pasuk says, Limdu Lashonam Dvar Shaker. They taught their tongues to say falsehood. You shouldn't say something which is false from your mouth. If I asked for fish, you should say that father wants fish. So when the son saw that the father was aware of his wife's behavior, he said, so why do you stay married to her? Why are you still married to her if this is the way she acts? And Rav Chiya said, Dayenu, I owe her akara satov. Atzilo so sanu menachet. The fact that we're married to her makes us have less of a yetzahara. I'm married. Don't have as much of a Yetzahara. Umagadlos espanenu l'talmud Torah. She helps raise you for Torah. She takes you to yeshiva. She brings you back from yeshiva. So she has a chelek in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And for that reason, I owe her akara satov. And because I owe her akara satov, I can't get angry. So these are the gedolim. The gedolim, they didn't get angry. A wife who always made the opposite of what he wanted. A wife who would break an esrog, and the gedolim didn't get angry. You know, even in non-Jewish circles, they talk about how great people of intellect avoid getting angry. The Greeks relate that Plato's wife used to get all crazy and do things to insult him, and she used to come and she used to scream when he'd have his students there. And Plato wouldn't respond. And the students would say, but why aren't you upset? She's insulting you. She's embarrassing you. And he would say, well, do I get insulted by the chickens that quack? She's a chicken quacking. It's just noise. I'm, in this world of thought. I don't get upset by the thought, by the noise-making creatures. There was a great Baal Musar, Rav Chaim Zaitchik, who wrote a sefer called Darchei Musar. He went through the war in Siberia. And he said, look at the difference. You know, Plato lived at around the same time as Rav Chiya. And the Gemara says about Rav Chiya that his wife always did the opposite of what he wanted. And he doesn't say she's a chicken. He says, I owe her akara satov. I owe her akara satov, I owe her gratitude, and that's alone enough reason not to be upset and not to get angry. And in the non-Jewish world, sometimes they also achieve not getting angry, but not in the same way, not with the same level of derech eretz, not with the same level of respect as we have amongst our gedolim. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. There are three that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. Misha'eno mishtaker, someone who never gets drunk. Misha'eno koes, someone who doesn't get angry. V'hama'avir al midosa, person who forgives what's due him. Somebody insulted him, he doesn't say anything back, he lets it go. So the Maharal says, why does Hashem love these three people in particular? And the Maharal explains that ahava, love, is a product of achdus, of identification. Even in gematria, the gematria of the word ahava equals echad. That ahava is from a certain oneness, a commonality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves those who are like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above the physical. He's all Ruchni. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves those people who rise above the physical. A person who gets drunk elevates his physicality to the point that he can't even think. He's so physical. A person who is no came but no tear. You know, that person insulted me, I'm going to insult them back. I'm going to get them. He went into my space, I'm going to go into his space. That's a person who's very much of this world. Kadosh Baruch Hu's beyond space. And a person who gets angry, says the Maharal, is someone whose body is overcoming his neshama. From the perspective of the neshama, we should be above it and not get upset. And from the perspective of the neshama, we shouldn't get angry. And adirabba, when we don't get angry, say, oh, let it go. It's all good. It's all ratzon Hashem. We're benachas. We're not upset. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohavo. A person is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's ruchni. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves him. So maybe some of these ideas can help us. We should never get angry. But especially now, preparing for it, if it ever comes, we can come up with some of these thoughts, and it can help us to overcome these challenges. Yeah, question.
How do you reconcile? But I mean, a person, somebody does something to somebody, the person can take him to Besdin, and can
right.
Toy. I mean, even right. Say he's not angry, but he has the rights to. Right. He's not a doormat either.
That's correct. That's right. There's a beautiful passage in Emunah Bitachon from the Chazon Ish in Perek Beis of Emunah Bitachon. The Chazon Ish says that what is Bitachon? So many times people think that Bitachon means I have trust, it's going to be good. Good things are going to come. You know, I invested money, I trust the investment's going to work out. I have Bitachon. I'm taking the risk and I'm not worried about the risks. So Zayin Git, it's going to be good. That's normally what people think. The Chazon Ish says, how do you know it's going to be good? Do you have a Navi? Did a Navi tell you it's going to be good? How do you know it's going to be good? Maybe Hashem doesn't want this business to succeed. So the Chazon Ish says that Bitachon means something else. Bitachon means that a person feels that whatever is going to be is from Hashem. And since whatever is going to be is from Hashem, I know it's from Him. That's it. I know it's from Him and I'm secure. Gam ki elech begeit salmaves lo ira ra. You're with me, so it's from you. It's all the tova, ultimately. It's all from Hashem, it's all the tova. So the Chazon Ish says, I'll give you an example of what is the test for bitachon. A guy has a store, and he's a big bal musar. So every day he spends an hour talking about the need of bitachon, and reminding himself about bitachon, and bitachon, and bitachon. And he has a store, and when people say, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have nice hatzlacha, he said, well, it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have bitachon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the parnasa. And then another guy in the shul opens up the same type of store across the street. So how does he react? If he reacts with anger and he's all upset, he obviously doesn't have bitachon. He doesn't really feel that Hashem gives the parnasa. Because if he felt Hashem gives the parnasa, what does he care what the other guy is doing? Hashem gives the parnasa. It doesn't matter what the other guy does. Hashem gives the parnasa. That's the Chazon Ish. I'm not saying that Al Pi Bezdin he doesn't have a right to go to Bezdin. If it's a case of Hasagas Gvul based on the Gemaras in Baba Basra, then Halach is he can go to Bezdin. He should go to Bezdin. But if it's not Hasagas Gvul, it's not so simple to have Hasagas Gvul. You learn Baba Basra to see, you know, two people in the same neighborhood, they both have the rights to open up in the same neighborhood. It's a guy from outside of the neighborhood who comes, who can't be Masa Gvul, but the local guy probably could. So it's not so simple with Hasagas Gvul. But if it's not, you know, if it's not Hasagas Gvul, to have bitachon, everything comes from Hashem, and go give the guy advice, the Chazon Ish says. give him advice how he can have a better store. Because Hashem can give everyone enough. And we have, should have bitachon. That's not easy to have, but we should have bitachon. The parnasa comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, question. I disagree with that contention. I don't think that this is Ma'al Ben Pnei Chaver or Barabbah, because the Chafetz Chaim writes that, you know, to give Tochacha is not Ma'al Ben Pnei Chaver or Barabbah. He says that in Shmiras HaLashon. And I think that, you know, Yaakov Avinu, we find this also with David HaMelech, right? David HaMelech, when he dies, last week's Haftorah, David HaMelech tells Shlomo to take revenge on Shimi, you know, but how could it be, right? I mean, Shimi apologized. Shimi did tshuva. So the Svarim HaKadoshim say that David HaMelech and Yaakov Avinu, they were on such a high ruchniyistika madregan, on such a high level of nevuah, that they knew that Shimi and Reuven needed this as the tikkun for their neshamos. So it actually was a favor for Reuven and for Shimi to tell Shlomo punish Shimi and to tell Reuven that you need to have this rebuke, this has to be rebuked. And yes, it's in the Torah as a lesson for all of us. Thank you all very much. Let's go to mitzvahs.